A Russian grab for oil.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. What do you think about this idea? It's our country. We ought to be in charge of our oil. In this case, we're talking about a different kind of fight for energy independence, and it begins to take on a whole new meaning when it's told from the perspective of Russians maneuvering to take control. The outcome could be huge for the British oil giant BP, which does business here in the U.S. under the BP and ARCO brands. Back in 2003, BP formed a joint venture that was supposed to be 50-50 with Russian investors. But the Russians have been making life miserable for the BP exec who's been running things, and now it appears they've successfully forced him out of the country. Marketplace's Stephen Beard joins us from London with more on what's literally become a struggle for power. Good day to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Bob.
So what's the latest? It appears the British chief of this operation actually hopes to run the whole thing from exile, basically?
Yes, he has left Moscow temporarily, he says, but will continue to run the company from outside Russia in what he calls an undisclosed location. BP says the joint venture will operate normally, but there really is a big question mark now over this whole project, or rather BP's involvement in it.
Now, does the Russian government appear to be involved in this power struggle at all?
Well, BP isn't saying that. However, it's pretty clear that elements of the Russian government are involved because the BP boss of this joint venture, Bob Dudley, has been denied a work visa. There have been lawsuits. There have been raids by the authorities on the company's offices. So it does look as if there might be some government involvement. It's difficult to say how far up the hierarchy that involvement goes.
This is just the latest case in which it appears foreign operations are having trouble doing business in Russia.
Absolutely, and particularly oil companies. I mean, we've had both Shell and Exxon being pressured to reduce their operations in Russia. And this, observers say, is part of this whole phenomenon of resource nationalism. This is the Russians saying, these are our resources, this is our energy, we want to control it. However, there are some analysts here in London who say that in BP's case, the oligarchs, the four billionaires that are BP's co-partners in this project, want to get more cash out of it, but BP's been resisting that and saying we want to plough the money back into production. Really, that this is all more about money and corruption and greed than resource nationalism.
Now, if BP does lose this fight, where do they go from here?
Well, this is a pretty critical part of BP's global operation. This joint venture, TNK-BP, is pumping 1.4 million barrels of crude a day. BP's share of that represents about a quarter of its global output. So it's looking pretty bad for BP.
For now, it seems appropriate to say a rather oily situation. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Bob.
More ominous housing numbers out this morning. Foreclosure filings doubled last quarter compared to a year ago. One in every 171 households nationwide is now in some stage of foreclosure. And then there's Stockton, California, where that number hit one in 25. Will the housing bill moving through Congress help? Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Tomorrow, the Senate is expected to vote on a massive housing bill. A key provision would ensure up to $300 billion in refinanced mortgages. Under the plan, banks would have to voluntarily take at least a 15% write-down in the value of adjustable-rate loans. In exchange, the new mortgage, a 30-year fixed loan, would be backed by the federal government. The government estimates 500,000 loans will be refinanced. John Bancroft edits Inside Mortgage Finance, a trade publication. He estimates the number will be much lower.
There won't be a big surge of activity right away, but 6 months down the road, hopefully you could see more borrowers finding a way out of their financial problems.
Bancroft says the problem won't solve the housing market's most immediate problem, a glut of homes for sale. Over the next year and a half, Lehman Brothers is expecting excess inventory will drive down prices nationwide another 15%. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Morning Report for Friday, July 25th at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon. The ailing British economy played a major role in the Labour Party's crushing defeat in a special election, and today there are more doubts about the future of Prime Minister Gordon Brown. Back over to our Stephen Beard in London with more on that.
The parliamentary seat of Glasgow East in Scotland has been a Labour stronghold for 60 years, but voters there delivered a stunning rebuff to the ruling party. Economics is the key. The district is one of Britain's most deprived. The average life expectancy is only 64. Unemployment is 20%. As the whole British economy slows down, the district is fearful it will suffer even further hardship. When he was finance chief, Gordon Brown presided over 10 years of national prosperity. He was hailed a maestro. Not anymore, says analyst David Buick.
You can't blame him for the downturn of the world's economy. What you can blame him for is spending money indiscriminately on the public sector, where the taxpayer has not felt any benefit at all. And that's what I think they're unforgiving about.
Brown's opinion poll rating has slumped, and speculation is growing his party will force him out of the top job long before they face a national election in 2 years' time. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Oil is back up a bit today, but it's still about 15% less than it was earlier this month. Gas prices are down a bit, too, but I still wouldn't call $4 a gallon cheap. Neither do New York taxi drivers. Cabbies want to tack on a dollar to every fare to offset those prices. Jessica Lussenhop reports.
Taxi and Limousine Commission Chairman Matthew Dowd says a surcharge is no solution.
We think it's bad policy, especially with the hybrids coming onto the road. You know, we want the drivers to buy the hybrids. They do that instantaneously, the gas issue goes away.
About 10% of New York's more than 13,000 taxis are now fuel efficient. Mayor Bloomberg hopes the entire fleet will convert by 2012. Frank Felder is director of the Center for Energy, Economic, and Environmental Policy at Rutgers University. He says cab drivers who switch to hybrids will save money in the long run.
It is up front an out-of-pocket of expense of an additional, $5,000, $6,000, but you're saving about that much per year.
Cab drivers say they need a surcharge now to survive. They may find themselves swapping for a hybrid anyway. Taxi cabs are replaced every 3 to 5 years, and new cabs must get at least 25 miles per gallon. In New York, I'm Jessica Lesnop for Marketplace.
And so, just when you thought it was safe to go back into the market, stocks got pulled back under yesterday by that fearful creature lurking beneath the surface. Investors seem to be saying, I think we're going to need a bigger boat to deal with this voracious mortgage monster. The Dow sank 283 points, almost 2.5%, which explains why investors are being cautious as Wall Street opens for business this morning. The Dow and the S&P 500 are just barely above water. The Nasdaq has managed to surface, but only by 0.1%. Markets in London and Frankfurt are down, and Tokyo's Nikkei lost almost 2%. Well, we've got something of a theme going here that actually sets us up nicely for this next story, because this Sunday happens to be the start of Shark Week, Discovery Channel's annual advertising cash cow. Sharks can use a little good PR. We link their name to all kinds of bad things. There are loan sharks and card sharks. Just yesterday, the federal government wants to turn some of that bad image around. It tightened regulations meant to discourage killing of sharks in the Gulf and Atlantic just for their fins. As Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, it turns out sharks are key to some of our own economic health.
Shark! There's a shark in the water!
Okay, so we all know sharks are scary. But what scares a shark? How about this? A little sesame oil, a spring onion, a sprinkle of ginger? Those are the basics of shark fin soup. Elizabeth Griffin is a marine wildlife scientist at Oceana.
Shark fin soup is the primary factor driving the decimation of shark populations all over the world.
Shark fins taste like tough, slimy noodles, but they're so popular in China that Griffin estimates the soup is responsible for half the global shark catch.
When you start to remove shark species from the ocean, it causes really devastating and very unpredictable consequences.
Big sharks keep second-tier predators in check, and without them, rays in North Carolina wiped out that state's scallop fishery, worth more than $1 million. Now, scientists say those ravenous rays are hunting for Virginia's clams. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. We invite your thoughts at marketplace.org. Thanks very much for listening. It's Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.